Okay, the last parsha of the year. The last parsha of the year, and it's seven. Next week, we will unfortunately not be able to have a class. We will be coronating the king of the world, so we will be busy doing important things.
We can't take a break in between?
Speaking of breaks, let's talk about Nitzavim.
Okay.
The parsha of Nitzavim is a very interesting parsha. First of all, it's very short. That's one reason that's interesting. But another reason that it's interesting is that the Gemara tells us something very important. It's not by coincidence the last parsha of the year. When I say that it's the last parsha of the year, that's because it always has to be the last parsha of the year. No matter what year it is, no matter what holidays fell out and what days, Nitzavim is always the last parsha of the year. And that's based on the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah tells us in source number one, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra tikin lahem li Yisrael sheyukaran klalos shebatoras kohanim, which is vayikra, kodem atzeres, which is, anyone know what atzeres is? Shavuos. Not Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is at the end of Sukkot. We don't want to be saying Vayikra at the end of Sukkot because then we can't celebrate with Hakafos, right? Because we'd be in the middle of Vayikra. But Kohanim Kodem Atzeres, you would say the Klalos. What are the Klalos of Toras Kohanim? Bechukosai, right? The Tochacha, the first Tochacha, the first 49 curses, that happens in Bechukosai. So we always make sure to say the Parsha of Bechukosai before Shavuos. Vishabim Mishnah Torah, which is Devarim. Mishnah Torah is called Mishnah Torah for a few different reasons. Anyone wants to really know, they can look at my newsletter article from 2 months ago, and I spoke all about it there. But Mishnah Torah means Devarim. And we make sure to say the Klalos of Devarim, which were last week's Parsha, right? The Tochacha. That's when the Baal Kori went very quickly and you couldn't hear him. That was because it was curses. We didn't want to make a big deal about it. Right, so we read those, Kodem Rosh Hashanah. We make sure to read those before Rosh Hashanah, my time. What's the reason? Amar Abaye v'itim Rish Lakish. Abaye said, maybe Rish Lakish said. Rish Lakish came before Abaye, so it's unclear if Abaye got this tradition from him. Kedei she'tichle Hashana uklalo seha. What does that mean? She'tichle Hashana uklalo seha.
That the year of the curses should be done.
Right, she'tichle, like kala, means to finish. She'tichle Hashana, that the year should finish with its curses. Okay, so first the Gemara then says, wait a second, I understand over here now, it's, you know, Rosh Hashanah time, so the year is finishing. But since when is there a new year in Shavuos time? So the Gemara says, no, there is a new year for produce and things like that, but it's not for us right now. So first of all, the word tichle, what is the word tichle? Where do we know the word tichle from? Vayechulu Hashemayim Ba'aretz. Yeah, that's a good example of it. Although Rashi says over there that it's interesting because it says what? What is Vayechulu Hashemayim Ba'aretz? It's called Tzvam. Vayom Hashvi. Right? When did Hashem finish making the world? Presumably on Shishi. Welcome, Pearl. You're welcome to have one of these. You're also welcome to listen. So it's interesting, Rashi says, what does that mean? That Hashem finished the world on the seventh day? No, he finished the world on the sixth day. The seventh day he rested. So he gives two answers there. One, he says, we don't always have the ability to distinguish. When Hashem does something right up to the last minute, it looks like it's the seventh to us. But really, Hashem did it on the sixth. So that's why the Pasuk says on the seventh, even though it was really the sixth. Otherwise, Rashi, I think also over there, Rashi tells us, that the reason that he finished everything on the seventh is because there was one thing left to do, and that was to rest. Right? He had to rest. That was also part of creation, to create a day of rest. So that's why it was Vayechul Hashemayim Ba'aretz Bayom HaShvi, specifically on the seventh day. So here too, we have the word Tichle Hashana Klal Osa. Just an important note, we have this word in Shemona Esrei, but most people mispronounce it. When do we have this word in Shemona Esrei? At the end of Modim, the paragraph of Modim, what do we say? Kilo chalu rachamecha, that Hashem's mercy does not cease, does not end. A lot of people you'll find say the word kilo chalu rachamecha. That sounds the exact opposite, right? Kilo chalu rachamecha means Hashem's mercy never starts, right? We want to make sure that we say kilo chalu rachamecha. Hashem's mercy never ends. Okay, just an important piece for those of you who might be, you know, davening and saying the words and understanding what you mean, but you also have to make sure that you're saying what you mean. Okay, So here the Gemara tells us that the year should end with its curses. What's the problem with that logic? It says the year should end with its curses, meaning by the time we start Rosh Hashanah, we should have already done the Tochacha. What's inconsistent about our reality and this statement?
We didn't hear that before this week.
Exactly. What are we reading this week? We're reading, there's another Parsha after that. Right? So you just told me, Tichla Shanu Kloloseha, to finish off the curses before the year starts. Well, the curses were last week. The year's not starting till next week. We have this week in the middle where we're just in no man's land, right? We've already finished the curses. Why are we waiting until another week to do Rosh Hashanah? Why didn't we, you know, extend the Parshios in order to make sure that Nitzavim is after Rosh Hashanah? So this is an interesting question. Another interesting way of approaching this source is to ask the question of why it's in the negative. Why doesn't it also say she techadesh habrachos, right? She tachle hashana ubirchoseha. That the year should start, right? The year should start with brachos. Instead, it says no. The year should end with klalos. Why always in the negative? So now let's move back and understand why Nitzavim might be right before Rosh Hashanah. Because it's true that the curses are already last week, but maybe there's another reason why Nitzavim has to be this week. Why Nitzavim also has to be before Rosh Hashanah. I mentioned this in my drasha on Shabbos. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem, source number 2, the beginning of this week's parsha. You are now standing here today, all of you, together. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Rasheichem, Shivteichem, Zekneichem, Mishvatreichem, Kol Yish Yisrael. Every head of the Jewish people is here. The heads of the tribes, the elders, the officers, every single person of Israel. And then it says, Tapchem, the children, Neshechem, the women, Gerecha, the converts, Asher B'Kerev Machadecha, that are amongst your camp, Mechotev Eitzecha, Ad Shoev Memecha. From the Chotev Eitzecha. What's a Chotev Eitzecha? A woodcutter, also known as an axe thrower, right? this was our preparation for the Yomim Noraim. We went axe throwing. For those of you who were there, we had a good time. Those of you who weren't there, you saw pictures. It was very fun. It looks very dangerous, but it's not that bad. And happens to be I'm pretty good at it, so I thought of it fondly. But that's Chotev Etzecha, those who chop down the trees. Atshoev Emecha, the people that draw the water, meaning even the people with the most mundane of jobs. Everyone's here together. Doesn't matter if you're a leader. Doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, a child. You're just a water carrier. People who are familiar with Shlomo Carlebach's songs know of the stories of the water carriers. Maishala, the water carrier. People familiar, you should, if people aren't familiar, you should go listen. But either way, everyone was there. And many Mefarshim talk about the importance of Achdus when it comes to approaching Rosh Hashanah. But here, another idea that I mentioned on Shabbos was, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem, you're Nitzavim Lepnei Hashem, that you're standing before Hashem despite the fact that at the end of the parsha last week we talked all about the curses. Right? Even after the curses, even after all the terrible things that might go on in the Jewish people because of all of their sins, because of all their mistakes, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you're still Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem. You're still right in front of Hashem. Hashem hasn't distanced you anywhere else. He didn't send you away. He didn't say, I can't be near you anymore. No, Atem Nitzavim Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, you're still right here. So that's another idea about understanding this parsha before Rosh Hashanah comes. Because Nitzavim is about is all about, at least the beginning of it, to remind us of the importance of the fact that no matter what we've done in the past year, Hashem is never going to send us away. He's still our Father. He's still someone who wants to be close to us, regardless of what we've done in the past. And that's what it means, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. So that's one reason why it might be relevant for us to say Nitzavim, for us to say the parsha of Nitzavim, even before Rosh Hashanah, to make sure that we're reminded of this idea, that we're still right before Hashem. But I'd like to present another idea. Another possibility is that later on in the parsha, we have a very important mitzvah. At least according to the Ramban, you see in source number 3, the pasuk tells us, V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'kolo, and you shall return to Hashem and listen to His voice. What is this pasuk teaching us? What is this pasuk instructing us? The mitzvah of tshuva. Vishavta ad Hashem lokecha. You shall return. Very good. You shall return to Hashem your God. And the Ramban says over there in source number 4, v'tam vishavta ad Hashem lokecha v'shamata v'kolo, shatashuv al Hashem b'chol v'avcha v'chon avshecha. That you should do tshuva. That you should continue doing through you and through all the generations after you this mitzvah of tshuva, to always listen to Hashem. What's interesting about this, another famous pasuk that comes up later in the parsha, but closely after this, if you look at page 1090, the very last word on the page, 1090. So first of all, you'll look at the pasuk right before the last word on the page, pasuk Yud, verse 10, page 90. Ki sishma mitzvosav v'chukosav haksuva b'sefer ha-Torah azeh. Ki sashuv al Hashem elokecha b'chol v'avcha v'chon avshecha. Again, the same words. The pasuk before that also says, ki yashuv Hashem l'sus alecha l'tov. We're both coming back to each other. And the pasuk right before that was the one we just mentioned. So then the pasuk says, after the break, at the bottom of the page, the last word, ki HaMitzvah Hazos, because this mitzvah, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, that I am commanding you today, Lo Nifleis Hi Mimcha V'lo Rechoka Hi. People familiar with this, either because it's a song or because it's a very important pasuk. That this mitzvah, which the Ramban interprets to be a reference to Teshuvah again, to repentance, is not something that is far away from you. Lo Bashamayim Hi. It's not up in the heavens. Le'mor Mi'al Alanu Hashemayim V'kachel Alanu. Who's going to go get it for us and bring it back to us? It's not across the river. Who's going to bring it back to us? Rather, it's very close to you. So it's in your mouth and it's in your heart to accomplish it. What is this a reference to? Some explain that it's a reference to all of Torah. But the Ramban, as we just said here, continues the theme and says that this mitzvah, which is very close to you, that's tshuva. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart to do it. You have to talk about tshuva, you have to do vidoy, that's in your mouth, and you have to do a charat, you have to be regretful, that's in your heart. So much of these psukim are referring to the tshuva itself that we're talking about during the days of Yamin Narayim. So what's interesting about this, in other ways, is that this is another reason why it could be a relevant thing to read before Rosh Hashanah. Of course, our ultimate kapara is hopefully going to be coming on Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. And because of that, perhaps that's another reason why we also start to say Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah comes. Right? We don't want to be reminded about Teshuvah after Rosh Hashanah. We want to make sure that we know about it before it comes. So we can start Teshuvah as Rosh Hashanah starts. Or really after the day Rosh Hashanah starts. You don't find a lot of Teshuvah, at least in its practical sense, on Rosh Hashanah itself. You find it really the next days, in Slichos and Yom Tov Gedalia, etc. But not much in terms of Rosh Hashanah itself. That's mostly about focusing on our perspective of seeing Hashem as the King. So Teshuvah is brought up in Nitzav, and that's another reason why it might be relevant to say Rosh Hashanah, say this Parsha before Rosh Hashanah starts. But I'd like to present to you another possibility, which has much more to do with the word Nitzavim, or the representation of Atem Nitzavim Hayom, and how it refers to Rosh Hashanah as a thematic, I guess I would say, a thematic construct of how we should approach Rosh Hashanah. And obviously I'll explain what that means. We just mentioned Teshuvah. So what is it on Rosh Hashanah that brings us assists us in our Teshuvah process?
The shofar,
right? And this is the Rambam himself. You know, there is a book of the Rambam which is dedicated to the mitzvahs of shofar, lulav, and sukkah. And yet, perhaps the most famous line of the Rambam when it comes to shofar is not in that book. It's not in the book of halachos of shofar. What's in the book of? The halacha of tshuva. Now, what's interesting about the fact that he has a book on tshuva is that he's the only one that's ever made one. Right. If you look through the other classical, codifiers of halacha, you'll find people that replicate the order of the Gemara. They'll go through the different mesechtas, but you'll never find a mesechta called Teshuvah. Right? There's a mesechta called Rosh Hashanah. There's a mesechta called Yuma, which is about Yom Kippur. But there's no such thing as mesechta Teshuvah. It doesn't exist. Right? So where exactly did the Rambam get this book called Teshuva from? He made it up. He made it up himself. The Rambam took the time. He spent years and years on the Mishneh Torah to make sure that everyone could just read this book and they'd know all of Torah. That's what he says in his introduction. I'm making a book which he calls Mishneh Torah, like Devarim, which is a review of the entire Torah and all of the halachos that we glean from the Gemara. And part of all of those books is everything he thinks is relevant for someone to know. So he goes, he looks through the Gemara, and he says, yeah, there's a Masechta called Rosh Hashanah, there's a Masechta called Yuma, there's a Masechta called Sukkah, but there's no Masechta called Tshuva. And if I want people to know everything about Yiddishkeit, about everything about Torah and Mitzvos, I have to make a book called Tshuva. And he makes a book called Tshuva, the first one ever. And in that book called Tshuva, he talks about the shofar. And that's what you have here in source number 5, perhaps the most famous example of the Rambam's understanding of shofar. Even though the Pasuk explicitly tells us the purpose of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah might have other reasons to it. Remez yeshbo. Even though the Pasuk tells us there's another remez to it. Klomar, uru yeshenim mishinaschem, v'nirdamim hakitzu mitardemaschem. That wake up those who slumber in their sleeps, and the ones who are, slumbering. I don't know. Another word, v'nir damim, someone who's like deep in sleep. Hakitzu mitardemaschem, wake up from your slumber, v'chapsu b'maseichem, and examine your deeds, v'chizri b'tshuva v'zichri barachem, and go back in repentance and remember your Creator. Capital C. Elu hashochachem es ha'emes ha'behavle hazman. These are the people who forget the truth in the, futility of time. Vishogim kol shenasam behevel v'rik, and they waste their entire year with nothingness and emptiness. Asher lo yoil v'lo yatzil. It's not going to help them. It's not going to save them. Habitu l'nafsho sechem. Look into your souls, v'heitivu darcheichem, and make better your ways, umal aleichem, and your, the things that you do. V'yazov kol echad mikem darko, and each person should leave their path, hara'a, which is evil, umachshav toa shelo tova, and your thoughts which are not positive. So this is the Rambam's understanding of the shofar. Obviously, the Rambam implicitly says, we do not give reasons for mitzvos. The Pasuk says it. It's a gezeras hakasuv. That's why we do it. However, remez yeshbo. There is a hint, there's a concept of it which goes beyond just the fact that the Torah tells us, which is that it serves as an alarm clock. It serves to wake us up, to say it's time to do tshuva, it's time to stop sleeping, figuratively, obviously, it's time to stop sleeping in our morality, sleeping in our wrong perspectives of life, and it's time to actually, introspect and do the right things again. And this is how he understands the shofar. And most people look at this Rambam and say, wow, that is a unique Rambam. And it very much so is a unique Rambam. And that the Rambam doesn't always give us sort of hashkafic ideas. The Rambam, if you're familiar with the Mishneh Torah at least, is a very, to the point, very law-oriented. He tells you how it is. This is what you have to do. This is, how to do it, and things like that. And then once in a while, he'll give us a little drusha. He'll give us a little homiletics. And this is one of those examples. But the truth is that this is not a unique phrase in the Rambam. Uru yusheni mishenaschem. Wake up those who are sleeping. There's another example. There's another time someone told me about this last week, and I said, I have to say something about it. I can't not investigate this parallel. So that's what I did today. So what is that parallel? What is the other example of when the Rambam uses the same words? Uru yusheni. What would you guess is another time that the Rambam uses those words? Assuming you haven't cheated.
Pesach?
Pesach would be a good guess, but it's not what we're looking for. It's a good guess. It's a better guess than you think, even, which maybe we'll touch upon.
It has something to do with the mezuzah.
It does have something to do with mezuzah. If you look, the mezuzah, at source number 6, the Mishneh Torah tells us, this is another example where the Rambam goes through all the technical halachos, and then at the very end, we're really in the middle of this book, but at the very end of the Hilchos Mezuzah, he says the following. Chayiv Adam lihizar b'mezuzah. Someone has to be very careful when it comes to the mitzvah mezuzah, mipnei sheyichovas hakol tamid. because it's an obligation on everyone at every point, at every time. V'chol zman sheikanes v'yetze. Every time that you go in or you go out of a door. Interesting that he puts it in that order, because typically when we put a mezuzah on our door, we do it. We do it on the way in, right?
Yeah. Right.
So that I'm mixing up with something else. But v'chol zman sheikanes v'yetze, whenever you come in or you go out, yifga b'yichud Hashem shemo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu v'yizkor ahavaso. And you should remember to love Hashem. And what does he say? The next words, v'yeor mishnaso v'shigyosa v'havle hazman. It sounds exactly the same as shofar. That the mezuzah, as we pass by it on our way in and our way out, should also be a device that wakes us up from our slumber and from our foolishness in the silliness or the nothingness of time. He continues. Notice, by the way, he never talks about kissing the mezuzah. That's a more modern product of our life, but it's not really something that is a halachic requirement. But we do have to take notice of the mezuzah. So it's a good idea to touch the mezuzah, to kiss the mezuzah. Always a good idea. I remember there was a rebbe of mine in YU who used to say that if you listen to Uncle Maishi. Uncle Maishi will say, is it a mitzvah to kiss the mezuzah? And he'll say yes. And he says yes. Is it a mitzvah to kiss your babi? And he'll say no. So a rabbi of YU once said he got it exactly the opposite. There is no mitzvah to kiss the mezuzah. We might think so, but there's no such thing. But to kiss your babi is probably a mitzvah of kibud avayim. It's probably a kiyum of kibud avayim. But either way, the Rambam never mentions kissing the mezuzah, nor do any early Rishonim and codifiers that I know of. But he continues in this same theme. V'yeda, the second line in the top of the back of the page, V'yeda. She'ein davar ha'omed la'olam la'olme olamim el yediyas sor ha'olam. There is no one who is enduring for all time like Hashem himself. A tsor ha'olam, like a rock that doesn't move. Hashem is our rock. Umiyad, and after he recognizes the mezuzah on his way in or his way out, hu chozer ledato, and he comes back to his senses, if you will, v'holech v'darche mesharim. And then after he sees the mezuzah, he'll start to walk on the straight path. This sounds a lot like a shofar, right? It sounds mamish. You heard the shofar, and that should bring you to the same idea of Hashem, and you should go on the straight path. You should leave your bad path. Okay, good. We'll ask the question soon. Amru Chachamim Harishonim. Chazal tell us, Kol mi sheyesh lo tefillin berosho, someone who has tefillin on his head, ubizro and his arm, betzitzis bevigdo, and tzitzis on his garments, umezuzah befisko, that one applies to women too, that mezuzah is on the door, muchzak hu shelo yechate, you are guaranteed to not sin, shehari yesh lo maskirin rabim. You have many reminders around you. V'hein heim ha-malachim shematzilin oso milachto. And these are our angels that save us from sinning. Shenemar chone malach Hashem saviv l'reyav v'yachatzeim. That the angel of Hashem will encamp around you, around those who fear him, and will release them. Whatever that means, to release them. It's interesting because if you look at this midrash, so it actually talks about that. This is only when you have one of the mitzvot, but we'll keep it to the Rambam's understanding that this is a reference to these mitzvot of tefillin, of tzitzis, and if you're a woman, of a mezuzah, that these things serve as our reminders, as our salvation, that they will bring us a certain protection as our malachim, as our angels. The Rambam, it should be noted, in the Mor Nevuchim has a very unique stance on what an angel is. It doesn't necessarily mean someone with a white sheet on their head who looks like a ghost or whatever. It means a power or a force, some messenger from Hashem. And this is another one of those examples where the Rambam calls a mitzvah a malach. Our mitzvahs can serve as our angels. So these are two sources, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah, both telling us that these mitzvos, the shofar and the mezuzah, serve as alarm clocks. Yeor mishnaso, uru yeshenim, that they should wake us up from our slumber. But what do the two things have in common? What is the example of Winitsu? What do you think, Marsha? No? You're going to hold back. Anyone else? No one has any interpretations. What would be the connection between a mezuzah and a shofar? Nothing.
Well, I mean, the shofar is really a sound.
Okay. You're telling me what's different. I know what's different. Okay. There's a parchment inside of the mezuzah. There is a case to be made that the shofar is also considered tashmishei kedusha, in that it was used inside the kodesh or inside the Beis Hamikdash. But it's not exactly clear how literally we take that. Any other examples? Any other? No. Okay. So I guess I'll be the
awareness gives you an awareness.
Okay. Well, that's right. That's what the Rambam is saying. That the shofar and the mezuzah both give you some kind of awareness. But why would both of these devices? What is the commonality between them that should serve the same purpose? Yeah.
A shofar maybe announces the coming of the king of a great.
Okay, it's a coronation, yeah.
And the mezuzah
marks
this location.
Our entrance. Right. Maybe we're not the king, but it's also sort of a demarcation of our entrance. Okay. Interesting. I like that. Something to work with. But maybe we can dig a little deeper and understand what the difference or what the similarity is between the two. And we'll do so by coming back to Nitzavim. If you look at the Midrash on Nitzavim, it says the following in source number 7, Tanchuma tells us, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, and it goes through different ideas, but one of them is the following, Davar Acher, Mipnei Ma Asan Moshe Matseva. What's a Matseva? A monument or an altar, right? It's some kind of physical situated statue or item. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu make a matzeva? Says the Tanchuma, mipnei shemishtamshin midas ladas, because they're using one opinion to another opinion. Midas Moshe ladas Yoshua. Midas Yoshua das Azakene v'af Yoshua san matzeva. Says the Tanchuma that Moshe Rabbeinu made a matzeva, some kind of monument, because they were going from one leader to another leader. They were transitioning from Moshe to Yoshua. So what? What does that have to do with anything? What does the matzeva have to do with the fact that they're changing leaders? So here in source number 8, I'm not sure if we've quoted from him before, but this is the pre-tzaddik. Anyone know who the pre-tzaddik is? This is Rav Tzadok of Lublin. Rav Tzadok of Lublin, one of the Talmidim of, I think, Rabbi Leibele Eger, who was the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Interesting family dynamic there. But also a Talmud of the Ishbitzer, if I'm not mistaken, the Me'ash Shiloach, who we've quoted on Thursday nights. And Rav Tzadok of Lublin is very lengthy, oftentimes very confusing. This is one of the Rav Tzadoks that I can understand. So, and also oftentimes very insightful into human psychology, into very modern forms of, how to view the world and things like that. So Rav Tzadok says the following: Atem nitzavim b'medrash hanchuma davar achim b'nei ma'asan Moshe matzeva. And then he quotes the medrash that we just said. Ha'inyan hu? What does it mean? Shekol what? What is the inyan? What is the idea here? Shekol shofet umanhig hador, because every judge and leader of a generation yesh lo derech v'seder miyuchad b'halichaso v'hanagaso b'kedusha. Every leader has their own hashkafa, their own way of doing things. Seder miyuchad, a unique, approach. When it comes to even Yiddishkeit, kamo l'mashal hanhagas Moshe Rabbeinu, v'halichaso hayo l'mal miser olam haza. Moshe Rabbeinu's way of leadership was beyond this world. B'chol inyanei v'hanhagas ha'adam kamo b'achilas haman. Just eating food was a spiritual experience in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chol iskeim hayo rak b'torah. All day and all night they walked in the midbar and they just learned Torah. U'chmokin b'chol inyanim. And with all mitzvahs, everything was beyond the natural world. V'achar zeh, yatsu midas Moshe l'das Yoshua. Then they switched from the Moshe paradigm, from the Moshe construct of leadership, Ladas Yoshua, to the Yoshua way of leading. What was the Yoshua way? Lihishtamish v'lavod b'hanahaga shel Yoshua. V'isko haya, and his business was, Dafka ayde kedushas ha'aretz v'lasok b'avodas ha'aretz kiyadua. That Yoshua's whole leadership was all about working the land of Eretz Yisrael. He was the one who was going to bring them into the land. He was the one to conquer the land. He was the one to divide the land. He was the one that's going to settle the land. He was the one to teach them how to do all the mitzvahs of the land. Yoshua is the one that's all about Avodas Eretz Yisrael. That's a very different Avoda. That's a very different Hanhaga. Moshe Rabbeinu's Hanhaga was not with the world, was not with the land. His Hanhaga, his leadership was much more in the clouds, supernatural way of life. With the man, or with the Torah, or with all the other miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu led the Jewish people with. Yoshua was very much different. Very much the opposite in some ways. He was much more this worldly, working the land, fighting against enemies, so very much in a physical realm. Not something which is, obviously there were Nisim, but his plane of leadership, the way that he approached the Jewish people and Judaism for them, was much more in the physical world. Umipnei zeh. And because of this, and here's the kicker, therefore, they have to make for them a matzeva, a monument. What is that going to do? Sheyihu nitzavim bedatam, so that they recognize that they're established in their thought process. Shelo yisbalbalu al yedei hachlafos hahanhaga, b'inyan ha'kedusha. That they shouldn't become confused with the different approaches of Yiddishkeit. There is a Moshe Rabbeinu way, and now there's a Yehoshua way. Obviously, both of them are giving the same Torah and the same mitzvos. But there's a different paradigm of how to approach things. One is much more otherworldly, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and one is much more this-worldly, like Yehoshua. Same mitzvos, same Torah, just a very different construct, a different way of thinking about things. And Chas V'Shalom, they should get them mixed up. That there's the Moshe Rabbeinu way, and there's the Yehoshua way. He says, how do we demarcate that now there is a defining difference, that we're differentiating? You have to make a differentiation in the physical world. Here's the monument that says, we have now closed the book on Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. We're now finished with that. The monument is basically to honor and to give closure to the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Like when a player in any sport retires, they give them some kind of monument, or they give them some kind of jersey in the rafters to say, this player is no longer playing. His era is finished. There's no more of that player, and we appreciate that player. We recognize all the wonderful things that that player did, but now we have to go in a different direction. Now we no longer have Moshe Rabbeinu. We no longer have this, you know, star player that was been leading us through the desert. Now we have to find, or we have to transition into a new way. And for that, we make a monument. We make something in the ground to say, now we're pausing, we're stopping, we're giving closure to the first era, and now we're going into the second era.
You mean so people won't say, but Moshe would have done
exactly.
This way,
exactly. We don't need to tell the people that we're thinking about things differently now. Not that one is better than the other. They're just different. And to confuse them would make your whole Hashkavas HaChaim confused also. The way you look at life, you can't mix it up. Otherwise, you'll get a little lost in the shuffle.
Did he have any kind of, to use the word I'm using, inauguration?
For Yoshua.
Like appointments?
Yoshua.
Because that also gives...
Yeah. So a few parshios ago, before Moshe Rabbeinu's pep talk at the beginning of Devarim, I think in Matos, so Moshe Rabbeinu has a smicha, and he gives over... You know, the reins to Yoshua, and it's more symbolic, obviously. Yeah, well, this is talking about like more of a something that everyone can look at and see. That was just between Moshe and Yoshua. Maybe people were watching, but I don't think it was in front of everyone. We'd have to look back at that parsha. But there was a relationship between Moshe and Yoshua, a transition there. A very interesting midrashim about that also. Medrash tells us that Yoshua, when the first time he went to the Ohel Moed and he spoke to Hashem, Moshe got very jealous. He said, Yoshua, tell me what Hashem said. Tell me what he said. Right? That was a very interesting measurement. We'll talk about it another time. But this is what the pre-tzaddik, this is what the Rav Tzaddik of Lublin says. V'dam shelo yisbablu adeh ha'chlavas ha'anhaga b'inyan ha'kdusha rak sheyesharu al amdam ba'amida kayemes ba'kdusha me'anhaga shehayo lahem mikvar. That we say, this is what we had with Moshe Rabbeinu. That you have to sort of stop, appreciate, you know, sort of demarcate and differentiate the fact that now Moshe Rabbeinu's era is over. Right? That's what it says. She yish'aru al amdam ba'amida kayemes. This monument should be basically a symbol of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership has now sort of stopped. It's stuck right here. Right? Anywhere forward from this point is Yehoshua's territory. And this monument is to demarcate that fact. And this is interesting the way that he says it. And with that strength, or with that ability, in the future, it's only once you can stop, appreciate Moshe Rabbeinu that they'll have the ability to go on to Yehoshua. Because if they don't stop, and if they say, okay, now it was Moshe Rabbeinu, now it's Yehoshua's time. So then they're just going to continue thinking in the Moshe Rabbeinu way of things, and they're not going to transition properly to the way that Yehoshua did things. V'zeh ha'inyan, says Rav Tzadok, v'zeh ha'inyan shekorin tamin ha'parsha zu b'shabbos ha'achron shel hashana. This is why we also read this parsha at the very last Shabbos of the year. L'chein b'sof hashana. Shemagia hazman l'hischachus hashana. That the time has come to bring in a new year. Or a newness of the year, really. Hischadshus, right? The newness of the year. B'chol zmane hakadusha she'avru b'shana shelefanah. That of everything that we did in our lives when it came to Torah and mitzvot in the past year, shelefanah b'tchunas hanhaga chadasha v'chol prate zmane v'es hakadusha nitzrach lezeh. Gam kein lios natsav v'omed. We also, for that, have to take a pause. We have to make our own monument. To stop and to say sheyushar biyado kiyum shanefesh mikdusha sazmanish mishtan avar, that we have to say that we have now, inculcated and appreciated everything that we've had from the past year. Uvekoach hazeh. Once we embrace and realize that last year is over, we can use where we can have that. We've embraced it. We've finished it. Uvekoach hazeh yikanis b'madregas kedusha sazmanim b'hischatu shana chadasha havolatova. Now we can finally enter into the new year. Once we recalibrate ourselves and say, last year is over, now it's time for a new year, then we can take what we learned from last year, we can put behind us what we didn't do well last year, and now we can start anew. But we have to have a stopping point. We have to have a buffer. We have to have a time where we have a matseva, we have a monument to stop and to say, last year is over, now it's this year. Because if we would just continue going on, we'll just continue in our own ways. We'll continue in our old ways. We'll continue what we did last week. We'll continue the same lifestyle we had last week. And obviously you're going to tell yourself, let's continue being better. Let's get better. Let's improve. Let's do things better. But if you're still thinking in the same way as last week, the same way that you thought last year, but you haven't said, I'm stopping, so then you're not really going to have an easy time improving. Because you'll still be stuck. What is the medium for us to stop? What do we use to make sure that we stop last year and we start this year? That we use the shofar. As we saw in the Rambam in source number 5. Uru yushenim mishenaschem, v'nirdam mechitzu mitardimaschem, v'chapsu b'maasechem, v'chizru b'tshuv v'zichru bo'ra'achem. You're going along your path, and you're just going in the same way you've been going. It's as if you're sleeping. You're on autopilot. You just keep going. And then the shofar comes and says, wake up! Chizru b'tshuva zichru bo'ra'achem. Remember what you're here for. Elu ha-shochachim es-hemes. You just forgot. V'shogim kol shenasam behevel v'rika shaleov lo'yatzil hi-bitu l'nafshosechem v'hetivu darchechem ha'alechem v'yazov kol achem mikem darko. You should leave the path that you were on. Stop whatever you were doing before. Umachshava shelo tova, get out of that thought process. Leave machshava shelo tova, machshava ra, darko ra, machshavto shelo tova. Leave that way of thinking. Leave it, literally leave it. He says, yazo kolecha darkab mikem darko. Leave that path. Now it's a new path. And now we can understand very well what the connection between this and the mezuzah is. Because what is the mezuzah? The mezuzah is also a transition. The mezuzah is also a time where we pause and we transition. We go from one place to another place. Maybe before we passed through the threshold, we were out in our working mode. We were going to our 9-to-5 job, or we were volunteering, or we were out and about in the supermarket, and now we come to our threshold in our house, and we say, now I have to stop. This is not a time to be, you know, analyzing and calculating and thinking about my finances. This is a time where I have to think about my family. This is a time where I have to think about my hashkafos, to teach my children, to treat my spouse better. This is a time where we're not thinking in the same way as a business person. We're not going out buying things. This is a time where we compromise with each other. And it's the mezuzah which gives us that pause. The mezuzah, as we pass through, we say, I've been on one path, now I have to go to a different path. But I have to recognize the mezuzah on my way in. Recognize the mezuzah to give me that pause, to give me that situation, you know, the verb, to situate yourself, right? To resituate, to recalibrate, to say, I'm no longer in the same position, in the same place I was before. Both the shofar and the mezuzah serve as monuments and pausing points. Times to stop and to transition, but we need to stop. You can't just transition. It's a time where we have to stop ourselves, stop in our tracks, kiss the mezuzah, recognize the mezuzah, do whatever you want, but make sure you stop. Pause intellectually, pause hashkafically, pause morally when it comes to the shofar. This is a time where we have to stop. And that's what it means, atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. And if you bring that all the way back, that's also why the parsha of Netzavim has to be between the klalos of the Tochacha and the Rosh Hashanah afterwards. Because we need the time to pause. The Netzavim parsha is the purpose of, the whole purpose of the Netzavim parsha is to give us that moment, to give us that pause to stop, to give us that monument to say, now the year is finished. We can't just go from Kisavo straight into Rosh Hashanah. Because that would be trying to transition on the go. We can't take this message on the go. We have to be able to stop. And that's what the word Netzavim means. You're standing here situated firmly in the ground. You're not moving. There's an interesting corollary to this that I've talked about before. Maybe I'll bring it up in a drush in a few months. The Pasuk tells us in Bereishis Lamed Hei. Now this is, if we look at the context of that. So this is in Vayishlach. And it's right after, if I'm not mistaken, right after he confronts Esav. It's after Shimon and Levi with Shechem and Dinah, right? So the beginning of the parsha is Vayishlach is Esav. Then it's Shimon and Levi and Shechem, and obviously the mixing or the acculturating of Shechem with the Shvatim. And then if you look at page number 186, it's also in source number 9. Page 186. There are two words here that seem to be super superfluous, exceedingly unnecessary. And I'm not the one who says that. The Ramban himself says that. There are two words in this pasuk which seem to be unnecessary. Vayomer Elokim el Yaakov. Hashem says to Yaakov, Kum alei Beis El. Go to Beis El, right? The town we all know and love. Vishev Sham. And sit there. Vaseisha mizbeach lachel hanirei lecha, and make there a mizbeach to your God. Bevarcha chama mibnei Esav achiv, who allowed you to escape Esav's wrath. Vayomer Yaakov el besov yalko asher yimo, and then Yaakov says to his family, Hasiru es elohei hanichar asher besochachem, get rid of all of your idols. Vitaru, and purify yourself, hachalifu simlo sechem, change your clothes, become new people. And what are the words that seem unnecessary in that first pasuk? Well, kumale means he has to get up and go. What would have been missing if Hashem would have said, Kum ale Beis El va'aseh sham mizbeach? Go to Beis El and make a mizbeach. There would be nothing missing. So what are the words that seem unnecessary? Vishev sham. By the way, go to Beis El and just sit there. What does it mean, sit there? What does that add to anyone? Vishev Sham, just sit there? Well, what was he going to do? Stand the whole time? What does that mean, Vishev Sham, to settle there? Just say, go to Beis El, make him his Be'ah. What does it mean, Vishev Sham? If you even look in the art scroll, I didn't even notice this.
Establish yourself.
Establish is okay. Why? What's the point of establishing yourself? Not clear. If you look at the bottom of the notes in the art scroll, I hadn't noticed this, but they actually paraphrase the Ramban. And dwell there. The reason for this command, if you all see it in the bottom right, the reason for this command is not clear. Perhaps God wanted Jacob to stay in Beis El to give him time to remove the idols that were part of Shechem booty and purify the people who had become contaminated by corpses in Shechem. That done, Jacob would erect an altar. Or Jacob was to remain there before erecting the altar so that he could attune his mind to the service of God. What does it mean to attune your mind to the service of Hashem? What it presumably means is similarly, like the Sfarno tells us in source number 10 on your sheets, Vishav Sham Lechavein Ta'atcha. Hashem says, go to Beis El, but make sure you take a moment. Make sure you pause. Lechavein Ta'atcha. To make sure that your head is in the right place. Kodem Shetivna Mizbeach. Don't just go there and make a Mizbeach the second you get there. You have to pause. You have to stop. You have to start thinking. You have to change your frame of mind from the Shechem episode, where you had to deal with all of their assimilation, all of the difficulties that they brought to your family. Shev Sham. Stop and think about what it means to be Jewish again. Think about what it means to re-inculcate the values of Judaism. Kodem Shetivna Mizbeach. Don't just get there and make a Mizbeach. I don't want you to loop me in to, you know, all the other thought processes you've been having with Shechem. Pause, make a differentiation, recalibrate your mind, and then make a mizbeach. Kinyan Amram Zal says the Sfarno, like the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Lamed, Chasidim Harishonim Hayushom Sha'achasim Ispalim Kedei She'echavnu Eslibam Lamakom. It used to be, unfortunately we don't do this anymore, but it used to be, the Chasidim Harishonim, the Gemara's term Chasidim, not our term Chasidim, the Gemara, the righteous, the pious people of yesteryear, used to come to Shul an hour early, just to sit and make sure they're in the right frame of mind. They wouldn't come in off the streets after a long day of business and come in to daven the second they walk in. They would come in, they would pause. Some people explain that this is actually a reference to meditation, that they would meditate, they would think about Hashem, they would get themselves in the right frame of mind and not jump right into Hashem's world while still thinking about all the other things of life. Yeah, that you should have a pause. There has to be a buffer zone. And that's Parshanas Nitzavim. That's what, and you'll find this also, by the way, there's a halacha that most people don't know. Many people don't even say the line, so it's not even relevant. But when we say Aleinu, right? Sheheim Mishtachavim Lehev Alvarik Lomis Ba'alim El Lo Yoshia. That they, you know, worship people that are worthless, that are emptiness, empty gods. What are you supposed to do after you say that line? No, spitting. You're saying because Rick?
Yeah, that's what I would.
Yeah, that's not what it means there, but that is an interesting thing. There are customs like that by Avodah Zarah when you pass by a church or something like that. But that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says, if I remember correctly. What does it say? You have to pause. Why do you have to pause right there? Because the very next words are Va'anachnu korim mishtachavim lifnei melech malchei hamelachim. But you can't just go straight from talking about idol worshiping to talking about worshiping Hashem. You have to pause. You have to stop. Pause. You have to pause at that moment. You can't go right. There can't be an easy transition. That shouldn't be something that's a seamless transition. It has to be a stop. You have to make a monument. You have to pause and say, now I'm thinking about something else. I'm no longer in that frame of mind. I'm now in a new frame of mind. And that's why it's not good enough to just go from Kisavo, finish the curses, and go right into Rosh Hashanah. We need to have a buffer. We need to have Nitzavim. We have to have a Matseva. What brings us that buffer? The Shofar. The Nitzavim, the Parsha of Nitzavim reminds us of differentiating last year from this year. The Shofar tells us we're on a new track now. We're waking up from whatever path we've been on. We're going on a new path. And similarly, the Mezuzah. The Mezuzah, as we're going in on a geographic level, not on a chronological level, but a geographic level, we're going from place to place. We have to take a stop at the threshold and remind ourselves about Hashem. Because Hashem applies differently in different places. Whether it's Moshe, whether it's Yeshua, if it's Evra Yarden, if it's Eretz Yisrael proper, whatever it is, before you change places, you need to have a matseva. The mezuzahs are matseva when it comes to geographic, you know, differentiations, or the matseva that the Medrash is referencing, or similarly when it comes to a religious matseva. So we have the matseva of the shofar, we have the pause of the shofar to remind us that whatever path you've been going on, it's time to stop, collect your thoughts, collect the past year's kedusha, bring the good stuff with you, leave the bad stuff back. Tich l'shana klolosel, leave it in the back mirror, and allow yourself to go into the next year with a new, fresh frame of mind. not one clouded by last year's thought process, not one clouded by last year's lifestyle, but a new time to stop, to pause, get a buffer, give yourself the clarity of thought like Yaakov Avinu when he came to Beis El, and allow yourself to recalibrate and make sure you're in the right frame of mind before you enter into a new existence, whether that's a new existence of Hashem for your family, whether that means a new existence of a place, or whether that means a new existence of the next year to come. Everyone should have a ksiva v'chasima tova, and hopefully I'll see you next year with a new, fresh perspective on life. See you then, in 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now.